they stood up in the back so they could stay awake and be in music history. So I'm just telling you, two choices. You can stand up in the back if you start to go to sleep, or I might throw a hymn book at you, one or the other. And I did recognize the fact that this is the time of day when normally people are taking it easy and taking their naps. You're all full and all that stuff, and the kids are all restless. So I'm going to make it a short message, but I hope it'll be one that'll be meaningful to you. As long as you have your mind with you, brought it back today, it will answer the questions, and things will go very quickly. So, first of all, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may see also. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The future to look forward to, the time together that the Lord calls us home, the dead in Christ, those who are living, and we'll gather around the throne. So if you take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 4, we'll be in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, and I'm going to ask questions. And the quicker you answer the questions, the quicker we get through. So just be ready to answer. I've been teaching the leadership class. And one of the things I've told the men is pay particular attention to the words. We believe the Bible is verbally inspired. That means that all the words, the syllables of all the words are inspired by God. So it's very important that we don't overlook the words, because they're very important. Now, in the beginning of chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door opened in heaven. After what? Huh? No, not after I looked. After what? After this I looked. So what's before that? The letters to the seven churches, right? So the church age is over. The church is not mentioned again until the 19th chapter of Revelation. It's no place to be found. There's no word about the church any place from here. So something is changed. Now, just to remind you, just a couple things. There are beasts. Those represent the created, God's creation, the living animals. Then there are angels, which are inhabitants of heaven doing the Lord's business. And then there are, who's the next group? Huh? Man, I can't hear, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Bad persons.
Huh?
Bad persons.
No bad persons here.
Saints.
These are the saints. I shouldn't have asked questions. I mean, all right. We see 24 elders. 24 elders. The word, the 24 is indicative. 12 Old Testament saints, 12 New Testament saints. So the 24 elders represent all the saints of all the ages. So these are those who have been saved, who are now with the presence of the Lord. Now, it's important, let's look at the words. I looked, and behold, I heard, as it was, a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things that will be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sat and like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders. What's the next word? Okay, first question. Why are these believers of all the ages sitting? What does that say to you?
Their work is done.
The earthly work is done. All finished. You've done what you were supposed to do. You are now in heaven just like the Lord promised. All right. Look at the next one. They were sitting and they were clothed in white raiment. What's that? His robes for mine? Robes of righteousness. So I'm in Revelation 19, the robes represent the righteousness of the saints. But the righteousness of the saints is imputed righteousness, right? So they are sitting, their work is done, and they are wearing white robes, the robes of righteousness given to them by the Lord. I made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's not the end. And they had on their heads crowns of thorns. I'm sorry, I'm tired too. All right, crowns of gold. They were on their heads crowns of gold. All right, now, first of all, there are two kinds of, the word gold in the English is translated by two words in Greek. One is the word diadem. That's the crown of a sovereign. In Revelation 19, when the Lord comes back, on his head is many crowns. That's the diadem. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that is the diadem crown. That is not this crown. This is called a Stephanos crown. This was the crown that an Olympic champion would get at the end of a race to show that he had won the race. So on the head of these Christians, these people who believe in God, who are in heaven now, they not only have white robes, but they have crowns on their head. Now, what does that say? What does that tell you?
They are rewarded.
All right. Now, when does that happen? That's the next thing. What has happened? Have you ever heard of the term the judgment seat of Christ? All right. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in the body, right? All right, look at this picture. Has the judgment seat of Christ taken place?
No.
Yes, it has. They're already been judged. They're wearing the crown. So the rapture has taken place. The judgment seat of Christ has taken place. So it is important to understand that the timing of this is important, is after the rapture. So, when a saint dies and goes to heaven, the judgment seat of Christ doesn't take place right then. It takes place sometime after the rapture, when all the saints of all the ages, this morning we mentioned, that will not happen until the rapture because our ministry is not done. All the work that we're doing, all the people that are wearing to Christ, the missionaries, all those people that are out serving the Lord, their work is not finished yet. But when the Lord comes, all the saints are sitting. Their work is done. And all the gold and silver is all settled. It's all been settled. So it is after the rapture. Now, second thing, the victor's crown is at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it is before the tribulation. Before the tribulation, how do we know? This is a little harder question. How do we know? Somebody tell me.
Because you haven't brought up the scrolls yet.
Huh?
You haven't brought out any of the scrolls or anything yet.
Right. The book has not been opened yet. Remember, the question is, who's worthy to open the book? And when the book is opened, that is to start the tribulation. All the judgments of the tribulation are in the book. So the Lamb is worthy and opens the book. So we know that this scene is before the tribulation. It is also before the millennium. How do I know that?
Millennium follows the tribulation.
Because what?
Millennium follows the tribulation.
Well, we know that. That's true. It follows the tribulation. Notice what it says. Look over in chapter 5. He hath made, verse 10, chapter 5, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Has that taken place yet?
No.
So you have, the book is open, then the believers of all the ages will be renovated, changed, reformed, made like that, and they'll be kings and priests. So they are willing to serve. Now, I want you to look at the worship of this group called the elders. If you would look in chapter 4 and verse 11. And the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne to worship him that liveth forever and ever. And what's the next phrase? And cast their crowns at his feet. You know, I said I've not been highly motivated about reward. God's been so good. I'm not sure how many rewards I deserve anyway. But you know what? I want to have a crown. I want to have a victor's crown. I want to have a Stephanus crown. You know why? Somebody tell me. Because I can put it at his feet. Isn't that something? Think about that. Having been judged, judgment seat of Christ is past. You're now dressed in a white robe. You're wearing a Stephanus crown. And when you appear before the Ancient of Days, what is the first thing we do? We take off our crown and we cast it at his feet. Now listen, folks, this is not false humility. Everything that is good, that is accomplished, is because of who he is. Because of his power. Because of his mercy. Because of his grace. Let us come therefore boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain what?
Mercy.
And find grace to help in time of need. Do you see it? In this journey we're on, in this pathway we have been that God has chosen for us, we need God's mercy. How many of us fail? Yeah, you know, we need God's mercy, don't we? We don't need God to treat us like we deserve to be treated. And he doesn't, by the way. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. We need his grace. His grace is that supernatural enablement to go on, to finish the race, to continue the race. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So they cast their crowns down before the Lord. And notice what they say when they do that. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, our perspective, if there is any pride in any of us, if there is any self-sufficiency in any of us, when we see the one sitting on the throne, that will melt away. We'll understand. I've thought about it, what it's going to be like to see him who is the one who gives us our life, who has redeemed us by his blood, what it's going to be like to see him and to realize how, you know, when John saw the Lord, what did he do? He fell down on his face. When Isaiah saw the Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people. Immediately you begin to see the reality of your sin, the reality of who you are, and how worthy he is. And therefore that song is about how worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. This worship of the redeemed recognizes their purpose, and that is to accomplish God's purpose for their life. And then we see in chapter 5, and this is the second act of this whole thing, in chapter 5 and verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So the elders, the believers, have harps. What do you think that is for? Praising the Lord. Can you imagine if we could see him as he really is, what our song would be. I mean, we sing songs here to praise God, but boy, up there, the songs will be different. It'll be dynamic. I mean, I love it, as I said, you know, I have double, not going to pieces sometimes, because you listen to the music and you hear the truth couched in beautiful songs, and you think, wow, what an amazing thing, what an amazing God we serve, what an amazing thing, life we live. All these things that God has done. Now, also, we see not only the harps, but the prayer. Notice the way it's phrased. It's really interesting. Golden vials full of odors, which are prayers of the saints. What does that say to you? How does God see our prayers? As sweet smelling savor before the throne of God. Think about that. Our prayers. And these are the prayers from back, you know. Does God remember our prayers? Does he keep our prayers? He does. And one day those prayers are going to be brought to that throne of God, and they're going to be as a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of our Redeemer. What an amazing thought that is, that our prayers are that special to him. We're at the grandfather, great-grandfather stage. And it's delightful to get a card or a text or an email from our grandkids. You know, what a delight that is. You know, we hear what's going on. They tell us things. And it's a wonder how our hearts are warmed by that. Isn't it amazing that God is warmed by our prayers, that he is blessed by our prayers, and God keeps them? And they're presented to him at the throne here by the elders in this time of worship. Now, they proclaim, obviously, he is worthy. That's an obvious thing when you see who he is. And then you praise his work of redemption. Notice, redeemed unto God from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. My wife and I have had the wonderful privilege of being in services in many, many parts of the world. Bill Lake, we were in Fiji with Bill. And I never forget, we went into a little church there, and Bill was wearing a skirt. I've never seen Bill in a skirt before, but he was. And that was a sight to see. Some things you can't unsee, you know. But that was one. But you know, we went into this church, and the men were on one side, and the ladies were on the other side, and the kids were in the aisle. We had to take off our shoes, which is normal in that culture. And they began to sing. And they began to sing American hymns. They wanted to do that for us. You know, they wanted to sing for us. By the way, they were singing in perfect four-part harmony. I was amazed. I was listening to this little kid in front of me. He was about 10 years old. He was singing tenor, and he was singing it perfectly. I'm thinking, wow. But you know, what was amazing, I said to him, look, don't sing our hymns, sing your hymns. I want to hear your hymns because that's your heart. And when they started singing, we get a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. To hear those people singing again, to singing praise to God. We've been in places where there are a few little people singing, a lot of people, a big crowd singing. But that music, that singing for the Lord, singing praise to him, is so powerful. And all these people from all the tribes of all the nations, as I said this morning, it is so pleasing to me to realize how different all of us are. Some of you are really weird. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing that, you know, think about that. Excuse me for referring to the leadership class, but One of the wonderful things about that leadership class is you have 12 men in a room, and you're of different ages, you have different academic backgrounds, different church backgrounds, different, you know, all kind of things. But to hear the conversation, to hear the outlook, the perspective of the different ones is so exciting to me, so pleasing. And it's obvious sometimes they say, well, you know, I never thought of that. I never thought of it that way. That's the blessing of having all these men together in one room. And what in the world is it going to be like when we're in heaven? And we get to see people that we've loved, people we've seen, I remember the first time we were, I don't know where Jeff Schrock, there's Jeff. Well, the first time we were in Ghana, Jeff went over with me. He was my helper that trip, bless his heart. And we would ride down the street, and people would look at us with this, this is a Muslim area. They don't like Christians. But you know, every now and then you see somebody walking down the street with a smile on their face. And you say, that's a believer. You know, do you know who he was? That's a believer. You can tell. And when they got together to sing, when they got together in church, I mean, it's an amazing thing to see what the Spirit of God does. But more than that, the love the Spirit of God gives us in our hearts for all these believers, all these people who know the Lord, the same God we worship. And boy, I'm so thrilled to see God assembling people from all over here at Berean Baptist Church with their children. Wasn't that a great offer to her this morning? Mm-hmm. Bethany, where are you? That was so good. Oh, there she is. She's hiding in the back row. But you know, to see these kids singing and playing, and to see you here, and we're all different, aren't we? But isn't it good that we love each other and that we can fellowship together as we should? Because one day, by the way, we're going to do it anyway in heaven.
That's right.
We're going to all be together.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's going to be a day. You know, what a day that's going to be when we see all these people from all over. And it's going to be a wonderful time. Every kindred, tongue, and nation. Did you know that, I didn't mention our missionary, John Honeycutt. You know, he teaches pastors from China. I don't know if you knew that, house pastors. Did you know the Chinese government right now admits to 150 million Christians in China?
Yeah.
There are churches all over China where they're meeting in houses. They meet in danger of their life. When I was there, my wife and I were there, I was supposed to teach a group of pastors, but it was at that time the government was so strict that we couldn't even do it, and because we would put them in jeopardy because we knew we were being followed. And because I was an American, they would get these guys in trouble for being there. But our missionary meets with these guys in Taiwan, and he teaches them and trains them and helps them to go back and pastor these house churches all over China. You may have heard, as I have, in Iran, there's a huge revival taking place over there. People are being saved over there because God does his work, and it's in all over the place. And what the wonderful thing is, one day we're going to see all those people.
Amen.
And we're going to join in that great song with them. And then we praise him. He's made us kings and priests. We don't see ourselves like that, do we? I thought about that, you know. But the fact is, he's got a job for us to do in eternity. Remember that. You know, it's not sitting around in a cloud strumming a harp, although the harp will be for praise. But there are all kind of things we will be doing. If you've not read the book, it's thick. I'd recommend it. It's called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. I'm reading it again. It is an amazing book that really would open your eyes to heaven and what it's like, but I think it would be a great blessing to you to read. Now, then the next time, the chorus gets louder. Look, if you would, at verse 11 of chapter 5, and it says this, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." How many is that? I have no idea, but it's a bunch. You think about that. These all gathered around the throne. Here are the elders around the throne, the beasts, which represent created beings, and these people are there, and all these people are gathered around from every nation of the world. What an amazing time it is. Now look. "Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." There is no pride there. All our pride is swept away. We'll be like John. We want to fall on our face. When I read this stuff and I think about it, I think, wow, it's an amazing thing that God has let me do what I've been able to do all these years. Think about that. 34 years here at Berean. I mean, what an amazing thing God has done. And to be able to have a ministry like that, and to go where we've been able to go and see what we've been able to see, it's an amazing thing. But to realize there's more ahead, and whatever that is, it's going to be better. The greatest delight of my life is doing what God has led me to do, doing what I get to do. It's the delight. So whatever he's got ahead for me, I mean, let me tell you something, excuse me. When I was 16, I really dedicated my life to the Lord. I really did. But I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what he would do and where I would go and what I got to do. And if I look back on that, it amazes me. I never got used to that. That I get to, I'm here talking, you're listening to me. That's an amazing thing to me. You know, it really is. And yet, the things that God has done for us, and I think if he's done that, and now when I see him as he is and understand that, what in the world is it going to be like when we finish that journey and now he puts us on another journey, the journey of eternity? What an amazing thing it is. Amen. And it says, which every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as in the sea and all that are them, all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Notice this, every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth, in the sea, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the four beasts said, amen. And 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen carefully. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, now listen to this, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Doesn't that sound familiar? Revelation chapter 5. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Now, I want to close the service in a special way. I've asked the Bowman family, if y'all could get in place and sing. I've got a song. They're going to sing. We're going to sing with them. Some of you know the song. If you don't, just kind of mumble along. But it's going to be something that's going to end our service. This will be the end of our service when they get through singing. But this, when I studied this passage, I thought this would be a great way for us to close our day together. Hadn't it been a good day?
Amen.
The fellowship, the food, everything has been so good. Everybody's planned so well. The music today, the choir, the solo, the pianist, everything's been good. So let's rejoice in God and let's sing.